Every time I step into the ring, the spirit of a warrior courses through me. Together, we bolt through the ring with vigorous sensations of speed. My passion in life is thoroughbred horse racing. I always celebrate my wins with Spey Whiskey.
传奇之秘不可言喻。
嘘 ，keep the secret。
Hello, football fans. It's the Soccer Central podcast. Best commercial ever. James Charman here, alongside Brendan Dunlop, Thomas Dobby. Who was that? Do you know?
Wait, first off, A, did we get a sponsor?
Yes, the Japanese
No idea otherwise why you do that.
You know who the...
It mysteriously sounded a lot like a friend of the show and Man City Supporter Club member, Dan Rouse.
It sounded nothing like that.
No, it sounded a lot like
nothing like it.
It sounded a tiny bit like Harry Redknapp, but it wasn't.
No.
Who the hell was that?
It's Michael Owen.
That was my next guest. That was my next guest.
He has no personality.
No, he doesn't.
None.
You gotta see this. Sense.
Check it out on YouTube. This Spey Whiskey commercial.
You liked it so much, you started the show with it.
Yeah, I pissed myself off when
it made us like get headsets and like deal with all this.
I've been hanging on to the connection of this headphone for the last 90 seconds.
Yeah, sure.
So now it's done.
It wasn't worth it for you? Maybe you got to see the commercial, okay? When you see it, and at the end, you
shh.
Don't tell anyone. It's just awful.
I was just confused, but
it's awful.
I am less excited now knowing it's Michael Owen and not Dan Rouse than I would have been.
Owen gets hammered, doesn't he, in his punditry. He's not that bad, I don't think, but he hasn't got much charisma.
No, he doesn't. It's all kind of been downhill since that goal against Argentina. Yeah. It just continues to just, you know, get worse and worse.
It was Owen
out in the street in no time.
It was Owen who said recently, was it Owen who said that he doesn't watch movies? He's like watched one movie in his life.
Oh, really?
Was it Michael? Oh, I think it was Owen.
Well, he's been in one. You know, his downfall was when he got traded for that illegal Mexican-American guy that went to Real Madrid. Come on, Goal? You never saw the movie Goal?
Oh, I haven't seen Goal, no.
Well, you're not missing much.
Right. Is that up for an Academy Award?
No.
No.
No. But they did release the third one to TV.
There you go.
Yeah.
Academy Award nominations today. I'm pretty excited for them, but I'll be working because I work Sunday nights now. So,
so you can't
I'll be
live
tweet
the award
them.
Shows?
The masses are going to be just so disappointed.
Do?
I know.
Every year I watch them and I realize I haven't seen one of these movies.
I know. I've got to watch them all the best picture noms before.
The award shows, though, to be honest, have become like a treat for all of the podcast listeners that appreciate Dobby's live tweets because, you know, no offense to your soccer punditry, but hell of a lot more entertaining on awards.
Let me ask you, we all watch sports broadcasts, right, with the eye of people that work in the business, right?
Yeah.
When you watch a movie with your better half punters, who I won't mention her name, but she's
in that business.
Does she like watch movies and critique them from the actor's perspective? Does she ruin them for you? That's what I'm saying.
No. In fact, she doesn't ruin them for me. I'm actually surprised she doesn't do that more. But she will do that if it's like very blatant that, let's say, someone's there was a poor casting choice and someone doesn't suit the role well. It has to be very blatant,
say,
one way or the other.
I could have done that role so much better.
You know what?
Like we do, we were sports broadcasts. Yeah, exactly. Like, I can't believe he's on TV.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
I feel like
I do that all the time when I see you on there.
I
end up saying that more often than she does. But she's got a new single out, and maybe I'll tweet it with this podcast later.
She has?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. She's an artist.
She's so talented.
I know. I'm, as you said, I'm batting well above my weight.
Oh, it's not going to last for long, so enjoy it while you can. I thought that we'd start with the Owen commercial because just to kind of contrast that boredom to the hysteria and energy that is the MLS draft today.
Oh my God. It was amazing.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, right.
I found as the second round hit, I found some really intriguing picks I thought we should get into here.
Seriously?
No.
So now, I was going to say now we're, okay, no. go on.
Carl Larin though, good for him.
Yeah.
So
first overall Canadian boy.
Went first, good.
From the Sigma Academy. That's great.
Was that Orlando?
Orlando, yeah.
Orlando City.
Yeah. So he's got a teammate now.
Now Kaká, yeah. And as I mentioned, my third cousin Luke Bowden, who plays for them as well.
Yep,
yeah, boy,
that's
with
right.
Kaká,
quite
good.
The connection. Jeez.
And now the Canadian, good.
Yeah. Awesome.
It's my new team in MLS.
TFC had three picks in the first round, and their second round, ninth pick. They picked some guy that wasn't even in the draft book they were given.
Oh, good.
No one knows who he is.
That was a mistake,
some
probably.
French, yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah. Like,
French player.
Didn't the Renegades draft a dead guy once in the CFL draft. Remember that?
Prof.
They did.
There was
Renegades, or because it was no. They had 1 year as a
They had the Renegades for a
Then it went to the Rough Riders and then
No, it was Rough Riders,
Rough Riders, Renegades, folded, came back as Red Blacks.
Red Blacks. But I think at Renegades, I think during that era, that famous era, they drafted a dead guy. This guy's not dead by all accounts, but he played in the college ranks. Simonson, his name is. And no one knows who he is.
Speaking of not dead, Fat Ronaldo's trying to come back as well.
Oh, boy.
Mm, oh, my God.
Ownership stake, right?
Fort Lauderdale?
USL? Is that their tag or the NASL?
NASL.
So he's going to be standing opposite our friend Thomas Rongen.
In-state rivals.
What?
Fort Lauderdale and the Tampa Bay, what is it, Rowdies or something? Road trip in May when they play in Ottawa.
They
play in Ottawa and Rongen will be up for the weekend.
I'd love that.
We'll go for the weekend.
That would be amazing. Schwartz is
mentioning. Go partying with TR afterwards.
Yeah, sure. We'll go to Hull.
Awesome.
All right. People don't give a crap about our plans.
they do because they might join us.
Yeah, Are you still listening, people? Yeah.
When Tampa Bay is playing Ottawa,
the Canadian that went first overall. What do we know about
him? He scored 14 goals at one point last season.
Right. And for Sigma?
No. In the States.
Great. Yeah. Okay.
He's a striker. Scores goals.
First overall. That is impressive.
Great for him. He was capped as a college student. I think he's got two or three caps of Canada now, actually, as well.
And he's
so Benito, which is refreshing that, Benito Flores has seen a young guy that's capped him now.
Yeah.
Before something awful happens.
Honestly.
He's at the, Benito's been good that way, but he's at the CONCACAF tournament with the under 20s.
Yeah. Great video.
Great reaction. Yeah.
When he went first, the whole locker room went nuts. It was great. Really good to see.
So the last two NBA drafts and now the MLS draft. Canadians, first overall. That's correct.
Hockey.
We're taking over. Oh, yeah. That McDavid guy.
Well, Jack Eichel's American, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
He's not going.
What about last year? Who went first last year?
Aaron Ekblad.
He's not. Is he Canadian?
No.
But I thought he's played much of his junior career in Canada.
What are we talking about?
I don't know.
We've talked about everything but soccer so far.
Really
what
ridiculous.
A surprise.
This is like
every week.
We used to do those Monday shows, and I used to get grilled for not sticking to the system.
So are we going
to
talk about Defoe now or what?
No, I thought we'd get to, sure. So the big deal kind of broke last night.
Ekblad's Canadian.
Thank you. Thank you.
Fired. Oh, my God.
The soccer guy here knows more about Canadian hockey than the two of you.
It gets even worse.
Oh, boy.
His date of birth or his place of birth? Windsor, Ontario.
Oh, yeah. Doctor.
Wow.
Just and because you want to be my latex salesman.
Just because his name sounds different.
Don't forget
different.
To watch Sportsnet Central. Weekends with Brendan Dunlop, 10 p.m., 1 a.m.
Oh, you're both so racialist.
Yikes.
But he played in Belle River. That's the summer.
We need to delete that because that's not good.
Why?
All right.
Because you look bad. We look bad all the time in this podcast. So, broke last night. Defoe off to Sunderland. For money and Jozy Altidore, as we discussed the rumor last week in this podcast. Let's start with the Defoe angle, going to Sunderland. What are they getting? Are they going to get a guy? And is he worth a reported £14 million?
I said to Dunlop the other day when this was coming down, like the 3.5-year contract is staggering because there's absolutely no chance that he's there in 2 years, no less 3.5. I just can't see that. I mean,
well, if they go down, will he then jump? Is there a clause in that contract?
Of course, there's got to be to bounce out. But you know what? To be fair, what it's worth to stay in the Premier League, I mean, I think we talk about it all the time with what it caught, you know, what it's worth to come up. It's in the neighborhood of, £60 million for a team to come up. I mean, it would be disastrous for Sunderland to go down and discuss over years of, this podcast of how tough it is to get out of the Championship. And we see it all the time with teams that go down and then start all of a sudden battling relegation in the Championship. So what it's worth for them to stay up, if Defoe's play and goals can keep them up this season in a year where there's about 8 teams within, 7 points right now that could go down, and it's a pick of, any of them to do it. If he does keep them up with his goals, then of course it's worth it. And I think that he will be successful and score, a good number of goals at least this season to justify what they're paying for it.
Yeah, I think that the money is a smaller issue to me. And I think the 14 mil is actually the total terms of the deal. So including the salary, he's going to get 80,000 a week, which is what, 10,000 less than he was making in MLS, but considerably more than he was making at Spurs. But I think he'll bag the goals to keep them up. Let's remember he scored 8 in his first 9 games in MLS. I'm not saying he's going to have the same tally there for Sunderland. He's certainly not going to get the service, and he's playing much better competition. But I think he's going to take a place away from Connor Wickham, and he's going to score some goals.
Why can't they be great?
Sunderland, why can't they be great? Oh, yes.
Remember, London last year. Yeah. Why can't we be great? And that's what Gus Poyet is saying at the press conference.
Because they're in Sunderland.
Yeah. But you say that he'll be a success there, right? Defoe's good playing as the little man, big man combo type of thing up front, right? And Poyet doesn't play that. Doesn't play two at front.
No. Plays one, I know.
Right? So where's he going to fit in? And I can see him and Fletcher working out pretty well together, but that means changing his entire tactical, which I guess hasn't worked so far, has it? Because they're draw machines, but they can't score goals.
It's all about, well, you have to adjust as the season goes on to just stay up. They're going to play desperate and retire those values. And I honestly think that he'll bag enough goals, and that there are teams worse than Sunderland right now. Villa are worse than Sunderland.
But it'd be a bit awkward, though, isn't it, this year when they bring him back to BMO to get on their Wall of Fame.
Right? I mean, yeah, he did.
It's going to be awkward.
Probably scored the most goals in their history.
I think he did, didn't he?
Yeah, pretty much.
You know what actually
also awkward is that, you know, they had this big testimonial for him against Spurs, and first game back, probably going to play against Spurs on Saturday.
Isn't that funny? He's been been training with Spurs, too.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. And now his first game back really against Spurs, timing, and he scores in his debut, right? Remember that crazy stat when he first came to Toronto?
Yeah.
Like his last three clubs, he's been like five clubs, I think. His last three clubs, he scored in his debut.
Just remember, I mean, to take, I honestly do, and you know, it's funny at times and stuff, but I honestly do feel bad for hardcore TFC fans. I really do. Like, I count my blessings all the time that I somehow never got emotionally invested. And I think it's just, you know, kind of, you don't pick.
You already have a suffering thing.
I guess so. I just, I don't know why.
Fault, you know, it's a footy show's fault you're not a fan.
Maybe.
Because you're working that show and couldn't be a biased fan.
Yeah, that's why.
Because we're so professional.
But honestly, like, if you just talk about the debut and you think back to that day in Seattle last March when he scored, you know, two goals and they won in Seattle, and it was just to think that less than a year later he'd be gone off to Sunderland. TFC are in this cesspool of crap again. It's just staggering to think, because you just thought, what a start. This is amazing. This is going to work out, and this team's going to make the playoffs. And of course, with anything that they do, try as they might, everything can look great on paper. It just never seems to pan out. And I don't know if it ever will. This team literally seems cursed. It's ridiculous.
But this thing's on the player. It's not on them.
No, I agree. Oh, I agree. As good a guy as he seemed and whatnot, I totally think that, you know, he is the one that, you know, F them, for lack of a better term, and totally blame him. And I can see why fans would be completely pissed off at it. I don't think he ever had the intention of staying here for the whole contract, and it was clearly a...
You don't think there's any blame on the club in this? This is where I put it.
I think there's a tiny bit of blame.
This is how I see his situation. He came here, regardless of his own agenda, was sold this project, which we were, you know, going to go to the playoffs. We're going to build a playoff team around you, and your buddy is the manager. Then they change that when they're in a playoff position. And to him, knowing the history that the club had had anyway, thought, I'm not going to sit on this show anymore. And I also think that he came here thinking, if he had a hot start to the season, he's in that England squad. And the reality is, playing in the States, if you're not Robbie Keane or your nation's not Ireland, you know, you're not going to get that same look and that same nod as you would in Europe. So I think that combined that, he was spoiled by the time Nelson was gone.
And the guy who sold this dream and this vision jumped ship in Lywicki. And when that happened, I think the alarm bells went off that, you know, maybe this isn't going to last. And, you know, can you blame him, Defoe? I mean, I think that there is blame to be had on both sides. But from TFC's part, I mean, and MLSE, they didn't see Lywicki doing this. And with him jumping ship, I mean, I think that it set a whole course of disarray, and you know, all of a sudden it becomes, you look at that introductory thing, all the guys they brought, I mean, Cesar, that was a joke. He was here for eight games. I mean, that was never going to be. And now
where
the one guy left
names
is Bradley.
And big voices. Remember the name dropping at that press conference?
Oh,
well,
my God.
David Beckham called.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Like, where are these
Drake,
people now?
Yeah.
Drake, yeah.
Drake helping out. He's too busy
with the
Raptors. Oh,
well, I got a phone call from Drake. I couldn't believe it. I like Drake. I have all his records. Shut up.
That's the worst.
I think he learned really early on, that, boy, I've made a big mistake here.
Yeah.
Firstly, you know, remember his first game in BMO Field, we're in the locker room afterwards, and everyone's gathering around his locker, and he takes forever getting out of the shower. Forever. Like, he's tiny. How long can it take? Right? And he's standing there, and he's like, what are you doing here? Why is all this media around here staring at me? I'm naked right now. It's like, well, this is kind of how it is in North American sports. He did no due diligence. All he saw was the green. He saw the money. And he soon realized, well, this is a different environment to what I'm used to, and the football's crap, and no one's passing me the ball. He got no service, right? He scored some goals early on, but got no service. And I think he's realized, I've made a huge mistake here. Maybe I jumped ship a bit too early. Maybe in 2 years' time, I could have come to MLS, but he just saw the money. And it's all on him. He's an idiot. He's a very basic human being.
This is also a guy that realizes that his window to, you know, still be a top-caliber athlete, it's still there, and it didn't work out at Spurs, and that's why I think it was so surprising at first he was coming to Toronto FC, and why, you know, the bloody big deal thing, you know, worked so well and was that case, because it was a guy finally coming to MLS and a guy specifically coming to Toronto that was, you know, maybe not in the prime of his career, but certainly still playing at a top level and not on that downswing where he was just kind of collecting that final paycheck. So, you know, I think he still sees that there is a chance for him to maybe get back in that England fold, although I never see him playing for Hodgson again, because I think that I know that, you know, kind of relationship isn't there. So while Hodgson's still there, which looks like for at least the next, you know, Euros, I can't see Defoe getting back in, but you know, I think maybe he goes, does well at Sunderland, and then maybe he goes, does well at Sunderland and helps keep them up. And then maybe all of a sudden a team with top four aspirations comes calling again and he gets back to that. And I think that there might be in the back of his mind somewhere, I want to prove Spurs wrong, that they, you know, should have given me a chance to finish my career here. And I want to go maybe play for, I don't know, the likes of a Liverpool. You don't want to. Arsenal, somebody like that, that maybe he can be an important player in a top team in a Premier League title race still in his
career. He's a very old-fashioned player though, isn't he, right? In what he is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the modern player does a lot more than Jermaine Defoe, but he does just score goals. And
sure.
A team like Sunderland,
you can't knock his track record.
Yeah.
For all of the injury problems and stuff, that he still scored 11 goals. I mean,
he's really the complete opposite to Jose Altidore, isn't he?
Exactly.
Doesn't score goals.
Yeah.
At least hasn't done recently.
Yeah, he scored a plenty when he left the Red Bulls.
I think he'll score again. But he arrives. We saw the pictures in the airport today. There's going to be a press conference on Friday. Mm-hmm. Now, you follow US soccer closely. Last week, you were underwhelmed with the concept of Altidore coming to Toronto.
Based on the principle of the money we were talking, and solely that. I think
can he be a success here, though?
In MLS, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that he could be for Toronto. I think that it's unfortunate that you look at every move they make and think, well, if history is, you know, anything to go by, they've made attractive moves before, and it always seems to burn them, especially when they put themselves out financially. But the sad reality is that's what it takes to get these guys back. I think that we talk about Defoe wanting to prove himself. I think Altidore has a lot to prove. And to prove stateside that he can do it. And he's an international striker that they can keep starting in international games as the U.S. looks to grow their brand. So I like the combination of it. I'm not a big fan of the money, but realistically, Toronto, we're going to spend it on somebody anyway.
Yeah, it's not our money. It's a DP spot that concerns me. And how else will they now fill those spots? I don't think you can have Gilberto and Altidore as his strike options now, because you still need that guy behind them. As discussed last week, I think Gilberto's going to be on the way out here, surely. He's been a bust as well.
I think Altidore,
a lot of people saying that Gilberto, you know, is going to get there and he's going to have this great year.
Yeah, he worked hard.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the work hard thing, it's with Altidore as well. It's like, if you watch him week in, week out, if he weren't a striker, you think, oh, he's a good player, works hard for the team, does a lot of different things. But a striker is based on their goal scoring record, and combined with Hull and Sunderland, 70 appearances in England for Hull and Sunderland, all comps, 2 goals.
Yep.
2 goals in 70 appearances. That is
there aren't many center backs with a record that bad.
Most of them have more.
Yeah.
That's honestly an embarrassing return. Like, that is some bad.
With a better goal return. It's
a joke.
It'd be good
you almost can't believe those numbers for a striker. 2 goals in 70 games.
Okay, so clearly he's not good enough to cut it in the top leagues, all right? Doesn't mean he can't cut it in MLS. He did it in Holland with AZ.
And the funny thing is that he scored 25 goals for the States in 76 appearances. Yeah. I mean, he's got a good international, right? That's decent.
He's built for MLS, isn't he? He's a big body. Yeah. He's physical.
And I'm not saying he won't do well. I actually think he will do pretty well. It's just staggering to me how little he scored in England. It really is unbelievable.
He can score 20 goals. He can score 1 goal. It's a gamble. That's the thing. Right? You don't know what you're getting from him. The upside's great, and it's just from a TFC perspective, don't you just want to get the guarantee of goals? I guess they thought they had that last year with the throw, and it didn't work out for another reason.
He must have been doing something right to impress, though. I mean, to impress his managers, because to keep getting appearances, and to get 42 Klinsmann appearances for Sunderland.
Klinsmann loves him.
Yeah.
Right?
Hard worker. He can, well, look at the competition when he's scoring these goals in CONCACAF. A lot of the MLS competition is quite
scored 39 goals in 67 in Holland.
It could be a big success, but they still need some of the pass and the ball.
Yeah.
More than Defoe, in fact.
Yeah. The defense is in MLS reachable.
At least it wasn't shown last year. They didn't. This whole Giovinco rumor's out there, which I find so strange.
It's silly.
I just don't know why he'd come to MLS. He's 27. He's still a very good player. He can't get into Juve's 11, but listen, you got Pirlo, you got Marchisio, you got Vidal, you got Pogba. Of course he's not getting into that midfield, but he actually scored today, actually. He did get into the 11 in the cup, and he scored a lovely free kick today for Juventus against Verona, I think it was. He's a really good player, the Atomic Ant, and he's 27. I'm sure there's other teams out for him in Europe. I know Fiorentina's being linked.
Monaco.
I hate to think that, and it's wouldn't put it past an agent to use TFC as leverage to get a deal somewhere else. Just if he comes, I hope he comes, but I would be stunned if he arrives here.
Yeah, you'd be repeating, I think, the same mistakes. And I mean, I could see somehow them, you know, working out. Let's say Gilberto doesn't leave, or is supposed to leave in July, excuse me, yet he's had a great year. Well, then what do they do? Giovinco comes in and, you know, is stale or fails to click right away. Then all of a sudden you've lost the fan support again. And at this point in the season, you're looking at August, they're probably not in a playoff position.
But you also need if they haven't an extra DP yet. Spot if Gilberto's still here as well. And he arrives now. This talk of the CBA having four DP spots.
I was under the impression that if Giovinco's deal isn't until July, as said, then if you don't move Gilberto, maybe you keep him until July.
Right, I see what you're saying. Yeah. It's interesting.
I could see it backfiring more so than I can see it.
And again, if you get a 27-year-old in Giovinco, do you really think he's going to stay for 4 years? It could be a one-year, one-and-out type deal as well.
Yeah. But at that age, though, it's you know, like Jermaine Defoe, the argument in the papers is that he had wanted to go back to England for personal and professional reasons. And you think, like, okay, he's thinking beyond his career. I'm assuming business reasons, not professional, excuse me, business reasons, right? So outside of football or post. Mm-hmm. But if you're, a lot of guys that leave Europe love living in the States and have developed huge, careers here outside of football or in association with it, and they love living over here. He's already burnt that bridge now. How does he come back and do that in a few years? You know?
Yeah, well, he can south of the border, I suppose. He can do it in Toronto.
I don't know. Not Toronto, of course, but who wants to retire in Toronto anyway? You retire in Florida.
You know, it's funny when people say, you know, why do these players go to certain cities, you know, any sport? Why would he join the Buffalo Bills or the Sabres? But if you're making that kind of money, no matter where you're in the world, you can find a pretty nice place to live.
Sure, you travel everywhere.
That's why people love playing in Carolina, right?
Yeah.
They love it. Mm. It's beautiful.
I think that Toronto not only is not a knock, but I think it's a good draw. I mean, this is a world-class city.
Oh, sure. It's a draw. Absolutely.
I think that Defoe actually really liked it here. I don't think that was part of it. I think it was more...
It wasn't disliking Toronto.
It was the on-field. It was the product.
I think also, he's probably not that many... I don't know how to phrase this properly, but there's a certain element in England and UK who don't move very well, don't travel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're homebodies.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And maybe that was part of Altidore's, you know, fault as well for not playing so well. And I think that maybe he'll be much more comfortable back here.
Although in Holland, he did really well.
Yeah.
Right? 20 goals.
Yeah.
Won a championship.
So what you're saying is you think that Altidore misses the 5-hour cross-country flight and the changing of the watch. That's what I'll get.
We know what is important. The little intangible here is that his good buddies with Michael Bradley, by all accounts.
Yeah.
And you want to keep Michael Bradley happy, don't you?
You better keep him happy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. But listen, people say you don't discuss the Whitecaps or the impact enough. And it's like, well, if they gave us the circus that TFC gave us,
exactly.
We talk about them. But they're just normal, well-run football. I wouldn't say Montreal.
There's
a bit of circus there, but Vancouver's kind of bland. They just do everything kind of right.
Yeah, I was explaining to...
run-of-the-mill team and not, you know...
Qualifying for the playoffs.
Yeah, I know. Weird things like that. Yeah.
I was explaining to a Brit who's a producer at TalkSport, and he was asking about TFC, and then he got onto Montreal, and he said, whatever happened to Matteo Ferrari? I actually, you know, quite liked him. He's a big toffee. And then he's like, what's the deal like there? They seem like they're run quite well. And I explained, you know, the cheese man that runs the organization and that they have a lot of backroom issues that sound quite similar to TFC as well. And laughed and said, why can't you make movies about your club?
And what else did he say to you about the Toronto FC Wikipedia page with the coaches? I thought that was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. this was the host. This was the host during the interview. And he's like, the Wikipedia page says they've had 9 managers in 8 seasons. Is that wrong or is that true?
Chris Cummings. And
I like Chris Cummings.
Yeah.
Those early boys are good to us in the footy show.
They really are. Absolutely.
I miss John Carver. I wish he'd get a shot at Newcastle.
Love JC. I know, me too.
Yeah. Keeps getting them.
Well, he does get them, yeah.
He keeps.
But he's career number 2. He'll never get that gig.
He's had about 6 different times where he's managed the team for games.
As long as BBC are still the first ones in the room afterwards, they can't understand him.
Let's move on a little bit here. Quickly, the Ballon d'Or, right? Ronaldo won, no surprises.
Punter's still glowing over there, yeah.
Yeah, I got a talking to by the producers for being too excited during a VO.
Really?
Not a serious one, but it's like, oh, nice to see you have some life in the show tonight. I think I was a bit excited to
so was
read
he.
That one.
So was he, his reaction there. No ego on that guy at all. That's what you got to love
so
about
humble.
Him.
You're talking about me or him? You're
very likable, both of you. I think.
Yeah, they do really have a lot of similar traits. Oh, yeah.
Don't do Portugal any favors.
Oh, come on.
Do they? I know some wonderful Portuguese people, and then there's this guy, and then there's Ronaldo.
It's
like, what?
That's the two, yeah, that's the most.
This egomaniac stigma that you've inappropriately pinned on me.
Narcissistic, yeah. You know.
There's a lot of self-hate there as well, deep down. So
you think
I would
so?
Say
it's
well, otherwise you'd be. No,
I'm joking. Oh, that's great. That's really good.
But your boy won, and so he should. He's the best player in world football at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, better than Javier Mascherano, though, you think?
Listen, Roy Hodgson got hammered for that, and so he should, right? God. He overthought it, right?
Sure.
But at least he gave it some thought. Half these guys didn't think.
Yeah. Well, is there anyone out there that had Keylor Navas as their number one pick?
Paul Pogba was number one by I think a Tahitian journalist.
Who did Julian de Guzman vote for again?
Oh,
he had Muller, Thomas Muller.
Right.
Okay. I don't agree with it, but I understand his reasoning. Okay. If you're putting a lot of weight on the World Cup, a lot of players. My trouble was the integrity of the, when you look at the voting and how you vote for your mates and your teammates.
I know, and the fact that like Ronaldo, you know, 3 Real Madrid players.
Benzema's the second best in the world. Shut up.
I know. What did he have? Ramos, Bale, and Benzema?
Yeah.
It's his 3, I think.
Yeah, so much about the whole Bale-Ronaldo spat.
Yeah.
You voted for him.
Yeah, exactly.
The fact that the voting comes out for all these players just adds to the farce that the gala has become.
Yep. It was great. It was great
players
for us.
Say
super
that,
interesting.
I've heard players tell
back.
Me that, you know, when it comes time to voting for PFA awards or Ballon d'Ors, often it's just the press officer does it for the players.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not even them doing it.
Wouldn't shock me, actually.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
Well, they're too busy. They don't have enough time.
I would just let journalists vote for it. Sorry?
I say the players are too busy. You can't blame them. They don't have enough time in their day.
It's a very
they're too
good
busy
point.
Training.
Yeah. Well, it's big 12-hour shifts at the ground. Yeah. Jesus. But yeah, let journalists
lucky
vote.
Bastards.
That's it. Honestly. The captains and there's so much nepotism.
You realize you still wouldn't get a vote though, right?
Oh, I know. I'm fine with that. Neil Davidson gets our vote in Canada.
Oh,
I'm
nice.
Quite happy Neil having that responsibility because he'll... Yeah. He'll do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who does he vote for?
Steven Gerrard.
Yeah, who does he vote for?
He had...
Why don't we get him on after every vote?
He had Messi, Ronaldo. I think he had Ronaldo number one. Did he have Neuer? There was one... Maybe Müller in there. May have snuck in there.
Has he ever put a Canadian on his ballot?
No.
Did Paul Spoltieri get a vote once?
Spoltieri.
That's my trick. Put Paul Spoljarek and that was worse than the Ekblad thing.
Paul Spoltieri.
Paul Pescasolito. But it's a shame, isn't it? I wanted to really, really like the Ballon d'Or and it's a celebration of football, but then you just see the voting is. I guess they got it right though, right? Ronaldo won.
I think they got it right. So I mean, it's one of those things. It's FIFA. What do we expect? That it's not going to be a gala. They're not going to put all the tinsel around it and the bells and whistles on the show. It is what it is. I mean, when it was the French award back in the day, people say it had more weight, but we see more games now. I think that realistically it's a better depiction of the way the game is consumed.
Yeah, very well put. You should write it down somewhere. Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to leave now. That's the best thing I've said on the show since we brought it back.
Well, good week for you because your other boy, Jose Mourinho, he, I think today actually, won the Manager of the Century for Portugal.
Wow. Can I just interject? I just looked up the voting and Davidson had Ronaldo first, Müller second, Messi third.
Müller, it was Müller in there.
Right.
Good. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
Thanks,
Müller. Müller didn't make the team of the year. that freaking David Luiz did. Sorry, another one of Gunners boys here. David Luiz, team of the year.
Oh, he had
big
such
douche.
A good semi-final against like, Germany.
He was only,
you know?
Only responsible
so
for six of those
good.
Seven goals.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Well, you know,
yeah.
£50 million transfer fee or whatever it was. I think that's that goes a long way.
It does.
How good of a
amongst
he is.
The fraternity, which is ridiculous.
Stupidly.
But then I thought about it. Well, who would I put there in there instead? And we're not enjoying an era of great centre-backs, are we?
No.
I discussed this with you guys in the World Cup.
Yeah.
There are some, obviously. But there aren't that. There was a time when there were, you know, numerous world-class centre-backs.
Yeah, it's definitely an offensive era now. I mean, I think goals are... I haven't done any research or anything, but I'm pretty sure goals are up across the board the last few seasons.
But if you gave us half an hour to put together a list, I think we'd be quite surprised when you look at it and go, I got Jerome Boateng like 7th and 8th here. Like, is there really nobody else?
Mm.
Well, I mean, I'm fine with Ramos being in the back four.
Okay, homework for next week. Let's each put together a list of our top 10
center backs.
John Terry in there right
in the
now
world.
As well.
So let's put together a list for next week.
All right, we'll forget this by next week.
Yeah, I know we will. For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Our top 10.
Nice idea, though.
Yeah. All right.
what tweets did we get that you're going to gloss over?
I was just going into that.
It's like, was it just the tweets we're going to gloss over?
He said something that reminded me of someone's tweet. And something is technically wrong, so I can't get to it.
Good. Yeah.
Let's see here.
We got a lot on TFC info, obviously, in the Super Draft.
Mikey, what are your thoughts about Fernando Torres' rejuvenation?
Oh, yes.
Did you watch the game
Atletico
today?
I saw the highlights.
Unbelievable.
So 2-2, Atletico, Real Madrid, Real bow out of the Copa del Rey.
Yeah.
Two goals for El Nino, one in the first minute of each half.
Yeah, it was unreal.
Amazing. The fans just absolutely adore him still. Yeah. How many was like 40,000 people came to see his unveiling again there? Like,
yep.
Unreal.
He's back, right? That's what everyone's saying. Oh, wow, he's back after this one game of great football.
I mean, I think the situation is the best situation that he's had since he first arrived at Liverpool and everything was going well for him. There's no pressure. If he delivers, you know, 10 goals to end the season and they're still in a Champions League place, who's upset with him? Right. It's a pressureless situation in that sense that he'll just be beloved
for
having come home.
Yeah, for what he did before.
Yeah,
it's like if he went back to Liverpool now and scored 0 goals in 30 games. Well, it's still Torres. We love him.
Yeah,
right.
Our boy Faisal Kamisa asked if Liverpool could use Torres right now.
Piss off, Faisal.
He's
a United fan.
Why does he always wind you up like that? Eh?
I love Faisal. He's a good lad. He's a good lad.
It's Faisal.
It's Faisal. Yeah, you said Faisal.
That's right.
Faisal. Yeah.
Sorry. Jeez.
I was going after you.
Am I here? Yeah, oh my God.
We've removed that from the show already.
How's Falcao doing, Faisal, by the way? Right. right, Faisal. You stick to your updates, okay?
Okay, Dr. Jay Kahn asked a question that we'll never be able to answer. With rock bottom oil prices and crumbled ruble, is it time for real financial change in football?
Oh,
yes. We're not smart enough to answer that at all. We're not a con. We would need like Simon Cooper on, but I think Sid scared him off forever. So
yeah, clearly.
We'll never have Simon
but
Cooper.
But it's a very good question, though. Mm. How will it affect those oil finance teams? They have their little business models, and I think they'll be fine.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. The answer is we're not nearly smart enough to even
be able to scratch the surface of that.
Dr. J. Kahn, this is how stupid I feel reading. With Prokhorov selling the Nets. Prokhorov selling the Nets?
Yeah,
I must have missed that one.
Oh, yeah, I had it on campus.
Is he really?
Is he really?
Last night? The day before.
Oh.
Is it Dr. J. Kahn, are you actually a doctor? I wonder.
I think so.
Is he?
Yeah.
What makes you feel like
he is? All he has is
he must be a shrink
in
studying.
Yeah. There's a picture of a rooster, which makes him either Portuguese or French.
Or likes Le Coq Sportif.
We could like that as well.
Trying to find a good urologist, so maybe he's a... Oh, no, I'm not. I'm joking.
Your British humor comes
JM
out of
it. What's up with PSG? Do you think the players are trying to get Blanc sacked?
They've been so poor. And
wasn't
it last weekend that they blew a lead? And lost 4-2.
I haven't checked the French scores or table in forever. It's bad.
I think I watched Sportsnet World Review last Sunday.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you're the one.
When I saw it. Schwartzy has got one solitary tear rolling down his cheek when he heard that comment. He's a producer of Sportsnet World Review.
For anyone out there who was as panicked as I was this past weekend to see that the Premier League review show did not air, I have word from the horse's mouth because I wrote... At 3:45 a.m. Monday morning,
to who?
I wrote Greg Sansone email, who's the head of programming.
So, I know, because I
hello, Greg. Happy New Year. Just wondering, has the Premier League review show been dropped? Because it is a staple of my consumption.
Yeah.
To which his reply was, Not to worry, Dunlop. It'll be back in the rotation. They just moved it to replace some FA Cup games that they were obligated to air.
Yeah, because
my consumption is.
What's that?
Bacon.
Mm, I like bacon.
Yeah.
Did you
imagine
always
a Premier
love
League
bacon?
Show wrapped in bacon?
Oof, so good.
But this is what we get being Premier League fans that live over here. Premier League and brunch, Premier League and breakfast.
Yeah, it's breakfast culture.
I would hate having 3 o'clock kickoffs. I prefer the 10 a.m.
I feel less guilty getting drunk at 3 p.m. than I do at 7 in the morning. Still get drunk.
Yeah, that's why the midweek games are good. Going to get drunk on Wednesday and watch the Blades and Spurs.
Yeah, so we're going to Scally
and then come to work.
Plan?
Yeah, and then come to work, hammered. I'm going to have like one pint.
Back to PSG, though.
Yes.
Lots of rumors about Ibra wanting out. And he's been there for his two or three year spin.
Time, what did you say? Did you say Ibra to TFC? Is that what you just said?
Yeah,
that's what I heard.
Yeah, James Sharman confirms. Okay.
Well, he's mentioned before that he'd consider ending his career in MLS. And he's, what, 33, 34 now? And now would be the time. I think he might score some goals in MLS.
Oh, boy. I it would be so electric. Dobby would like it.
Oh, yeah.
We would talk about it on this podcast, not out of obligation, but out of enjoyment.
Yeah, good.
I have a tweet some of our beloved listeners here.
Did you say that with any less? Oh, wait, can we? Let's talk Liverpool for a quick second. Divock Origi, or Origi, whichever is the pronunciation. Yeah. Is he coming? Apparently, Rodgers says they need him and that they would have to pay.
They're negotiating, but it'd be another £4 or 5 million on top of the 11.
I'd read one mil. I'd read about one.
No, who knows? I mean, I've heard more than that.
Is Sturridge just going to be out for the whole year?
No, he's training hard now again.
Well, so that's been going on.
But Origi, he scored 3 goals, and his last goal was in November. So it's not as if you're bringing over a prolific goal scorer. He might become that. He's still definitely a good talent. But is he the solution to that team's ills right now?
Well, it surprised me that they spent 10 mil on him after just one World Cup where we found out what his name was.
In fairness, I think they'd scouted him before the World Cup.
Liverpool's been putting together results. I mean, all of a sudden you look at the table and you're like, okay, it's not beyond the realm possibility that they're, you know, fighting for top four come the end of the season. You know, I think that the table, other than Southampton, who continue to, you know, marvel, and they had that bad run that we all kind of expected that culminated in, you know, Sheffield United beat them in the League Cup quarters, and it was kind of okay. And then they got those results against the better. And now all of a sudden, I mean, they got, what, 7 points against Chelsea, Arsenal, Man United. And now it's getting to the point in the season where they are a legit, legit contender for a top four spot at the end of the year.
Yeah, and look at Southampton's schedule as well. It's not bad.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
They just had a really tough run.
They got two or three real tough ones still. They end the season against Man City as well. Mm. But yeah, I mean, I'm a believer. They could definitely be in the hunt by the end of the year. I still don't think they'll be there.
Yeah.
Just because they are a couple of injuries away from, and Wanyama's out now with a hammy.
I agree with you.
If they sell Schneiderlin.
But they could take it to the last couple of weeks where it's like they are right there. But you know, if you look at the table starting to sort out a little bit, all of a sudden, Liverpool 5 points back of Man United. For the start to the year,
rule them out. Arsenal obviously are there.
They're putting the run together. I mean, all of these teams are kind of
once again with their urgency and they're pressing like they weren't earlier in the season. And you know, I found it odd that they sent Sterling on vacation. What was it? 10 days, right?
I think he's tired. Remember,
Jamaica,
he's
tired. He's 20.
Yeah, exhausted.
I think actually, you see, I read Fergie's biography, and he mentions a lot about sending players on holidays during the season. Back in that era, though, there weren't people with camera phones on beaches to expose them, right? So maybe it happens more than you might think. But still, you send Raheem Sterling to Jamaica for 10 days, he's not resting.
I don't think
is he? He must be exhausted, man.
Welcome to the breezes, Montego Bay.
If you're Raheem Sterling, he's got like 6 more kids now on the way, probably.
He's going nuts for sure.
he's going to be just like, leave Jamaica like in his wake. He's spinning out of control. It'd be like destruction everywhere. Raheem's been in town.
Hilarious.
Watch out. Look up your daughters.
I love how the table's setting up, though. I mean, at both ends. Yeah, it really is. It looks like we're going to have a title race right to the end. It looks like we're going to have 4 or 5 teams fighting for the last, you know, 2 Champions League spots. And then we're going to have about 7 or 8 teams, you know, battling. And there's no clear-cut team to go down. So we might have that final weekend of 4 or 5 teams, you know, all playing for it.
Well, there's some big games this weekend at the foot of the table as well.
Yeah.
You know? Which aren't actually in front of me right now. But
with so many teams down there, though, there's going to be those games every week pretty much at this point. So
Burnley Palace, 10 a.m.
It's a big game, man. It's a really big game.
Burnley's been playing great.
Villa desperate this weekend against my Liverpool here, B.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's
the Villa right now. 11 goals.
It's the Dunlop-Sharman Derby.
Been listening to I'm reading some tactical pieces on Villa.
Yeah?
By really smart people.
And how they've switched to be ultra defensive.
It's how they're a counter-attacking team, right? Which is why they play better on the road than at home, where they get the ball and they just can't break teams down. Because you look at that team, it's not a bad, there's some good parts.
I think, yeah, and it's funny because last week I was looking at them and they lost 1-0 and thought, they're deep. And I haven't said that about Villa since Martin O'Neill was there. But like, you look at the guys on the bench and they're guys that you'd be quite comfortable
spine,
with starting.
You got Goussain to Vla, you got Delph, who's wanted by everyone apparently. You got Benteke, who apparently is boring and world-class. One goal.
Yeah. Well, the last match, I think, said it all because Gabby and Benteke, for the first time all season, couldn't have looked less interested in scoring. And that's the concerning part. I think that Benteke is not getting the service. He knows he's not going to get it for the rest of the season. You know, Sanchez and Cleverley aren't exactly forward-thinking midfielders. The goals aren't coming from there. The ball's not moving from there. You got Ashley Westwood in the mix as well. So it's unfortunate that they overemphasize. Last year, the biggest weakness was conceding. If every match ended after 80 minutes, they would have been a top eight team. But because they always conceded in the last 10, they overcompensated and went ultra defensive. And even though they haven't had a healthy Ron Vlaar, they've had a pretty decent goals conceded record, run of games, excuse me. But they can't go forward. So I don't see where the balance is. They're not going to win any games by more than a goal.
They're the complete opposite to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Aren't they?
Well, no, not anymore. Now the Leafs are all focused on defense. And
They are now because they fired Paul Lambert. So Randy Carlyle should maybe go to Villa.
So what you're saying is they need to fire Randy Carlyle at Villa.
And find the complete opposite to Peter Horacek.
Yes.
Villa's next three games in the league are home to Liverpool, at Arsenal, and home to Chelsea.
Drop zone.
Oh, could be. And then they get Hull and Stoke, which are huge games.
Who's going down? I think Hull could be going down, which I'm
surprised. I think Hull and QPR are the two favorites right now, to be honest.
Who's Redknapp in a job still?
They can't. Not only can they not win on the road, they are pathetic.
10 straight games.
Home. And when you look at, schedules and teams, QPR have a really, really tough run in. They have a lot of the big boys left to play at home
They could be going down.
Yeah. I think QPR's in trouble. I think Hull's in big trouble, and then
I still think Leicester's in trouble. They spent a lot of money.
They're at the bottom,
Rich or whatever. You're definitely in trouble. Yeah,
I think any of Leicester, Burnley, Sunderland, Palace, all the way up to Villa. I think from 13 down, you could pick any of the three of them. I think Everton obviously are not even close to a relegation team, even though they've been crap a lot this season.
They won't get pulled into that.
No, but I think from Villa down, I mean that's 5-8 teams again, like we've talked about, between 5 points. I think any of them, it all, depends on form, depends where they go from here. They have 17 games to save themselves, and I think that you could make an argument for any of the three of those eight teams.
I'm glad that you mentioned Everton. Quickly, I just want to get in. Did you see the cup tie against West Ham? That was so good.
Insane.
Dobby sadly missed the end of it, but it was one of the best cup matches I've seen in a long time. And the keepers, too, I thought, in penalties, with the keepers taunting the opposition, like, it's going to burn one of them because Robles, Joel, hadn't started it, but he was retaliating to Adrian. And then come the end of it, it comes down to the two of them. What a finish.
Yeah, keepers take penalties before in London, and it hasn't worked out too well for me.
But regardless of how great it was, Everton lose another match, didn't they? Out of the cup now.
Yeah. Out of the cup. Now all of a sudden, their season is a disaster. And, all they have left is the league, and what best case scenario, what they go up and they finish like seventh or eighth if they have an incredible
Well, they have the Europa
last
League run, right?
Yeah.
Basketball. Yeah, that's true.
Putting all their eggs in that basket.
Yeah, but good point. Who do they have in the next round of the Europa League? No idea.
I'll tell you right now.
No idea.
I haven't begun my research for that yet.
Yeah. It's still a while away.
But I know Martinez is under some duress right now, and he should be. It's a strange one, that is. And
it people is. It's saying, just well, one of those years,
and,
I think.
Well, the argument, they've just been focusing on the Europa League. Well, they haven't played Europa League for a few weeks now, and they're still losing games.
Young
There's
boys.
There's more to it than that.
They are
young boys. Oh, yeah, they're the Wankdorf, aren't they? In the first round, I think. First leg against young
that's,
boys.
That's, yeah, away, first leg, yeah.
Yep. Why, at 40, am I the most immature person in this podcast?
I don't know. When most people, regularly say when they meet Dobby and myself, guys are very mature and with it.
Nice young men.
Nice young men.
Just nice young men.
Very nice young men. Yeah.
True.
Lies.
Man City Arsenal Sunday.
Yeah,
that's a nice one, isn't it? 6-3 last year. Remember that match? It was brilliant.
Man City Arsenal, followed by a little Packers Seahawks, followed by a little Colts Pats. It's a good sports.
Are you still allowed
day.
To watch sports, Tom?
Well, I'll be coming to work to watch Colts.
Oh, okay.
We'll see. We're painting all day Saturday, so Sunday, nice. Hopefully, I'll be able to watch the City.
Have you got
Arsenal
any drapes yet?
No, not yet. Great, sure. Bed Bath and Beyond, if there's time, though.
Oh, yeah, big Saturday, eh, buddy? Big woo! Saturday.
Yeah, this is when it starts.
Yeah, it's great.
Got a.
You know what I think about buying a revolver and one bullet?
Oh, buddy.
What's whiskey shotgun baseline? Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Oh yeah, get a shotgun just to make
Charlotte
sure.
And I were having a great combo off air before we came in here that won't really divulge, but no. We'll tell you.
Way to tease the listeners. Oh, what are they going to say about their personal lives?
You know, just it would choose
embittered
sports, or,
sports lovers craving the chance to watch sport in peace.
Yeah. They don't get enough of our lives from Instagram, so they need more.
I've actually made a man cave finally in my basement.
Finally?
Yeah.
What color scheme you got? You're torn between Leafs
red
blue
and white.
And red.
It's just dark.
Black.
It's an old couch. My old couch destroyed by cats. A big TV. And that's really about it. That's
okay, this time next week when we talk, the first legs will be done. Liverpool, Chelsea, and Blade Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Liverpool and Sheffield United in the final, we're going,
ooh,
right?
Let's do it.
We talked about this. Let's see it right
if
now.
If those two, yeah.
If those two get to the final, let's go.
We'll
just for the weekend.
Yep.
We'll find a way.
Yep.
March 1st, I believe, is the final, or Feb 28th.
My daughter would just go without clothes for a year.
Just go for the weekend.
Yeah, no, that'd be fine.
If that's the final.
So she'll go without clothes for the
Blades
year?
Are like 8-1 to get.
You wouldn't be the first Brit that denied your daughter
I just
clothes
want to
because
the first
of football?
Leg clothes so the second leg's watchable at home.
Yeah. Daddy, I need braces. Sorry, love.
Sorry.
I need a new kit.
But my teeth are horrible. I know they are, love, but I've got to go to Wembley to watch Sheffield United play football.
It's okay. You want her to scare off the boys anyway.
Listen, you can eat an apple through a fence better than anyone I know. Think about it, right? Bad teeth. Saying. Anyway, what's the thing about Man City and
Arsenal? It's going to be a good game.
Yeah. Oh, that's not good. I got this Fitbit, right?
Yeah.
These things are great.
Yeah.
But you can challenge people, other Fitbit, and beat them on paces. And then my wife just pulled ahead of me today.
Just by walking.
Beating
though,
me.
That's what it is.
That's all this.
Take it now.
The fake walk. It's like.
For listeners who listen to us, you know, seven years ago,
I'm about to go to the gym. You want me to wear it for an hour?
Yeah, can you do it? Me on
a run?
Oh,
and,
wow, you 20,000 pieces today. God, amazing.
To see that the men that we have become, or
men. Put it on your dog.
Push the ball.
So good. Taking the dog for a walk, put it.
Damn, so James pathetic. Is like this bloody greyhound.
Is this what life becomes?
Oh,
just
no.
Trying to trick your wife.
It's only getting worse from here, Tom. Moving is just the first step in the downward spiral that is your life.
I can't find comfy claret towels to match the baby blue bathroom that we got. Once I get those,
the sweaters you wear every week, you're already in your grandpa mode. It's fine. You know, right?
This is very European.
That is nice.
This is from the Amaury collection.
And now that Tog is leaving Canada, there will be very few of those around.
There you go.
So, Man City Arsenal.
Are we done yet?
Sure, we're done. We may as well. All right, yeah, we're done. That was the Soccer Central podcast. Check sportsnet.ca to find out what games we're playing this weekend because I haven't researched that.
Aaron, great American hockey player.
My deepest apologies.
I'm sorry.